RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear, one of three of my podcasts. And the podcasts are going to be growing. We're going to be working on one that focuses on some local food. I have a flavor of Tampa Bay here on West Shore and Gandy. And it's where we are right now with the podcast room, a.k.a. the Hendrix podcast room. Anybody out there that is interested in starting their own podcast, you can get in contact with myself or Radio Influence. And we facilitate the whole thing. And this is fun. And I got three podcasts at this moment, working on four. By the end of this year, you never know. So I'm enjoying this podcast thing, and it's benefiting. So that's what it's all about. So this is Flavor in Your Ear. This is my podcast, which is probably most like a normal radio show. My other two podcasts are Football Central or Centric, and also Cannabis Centric as well. This one here, we kind of going all over the place with some pop culture, some politics, a little bit of sports, but like to have fun with this one for sure. Let's start off with a little sports. Our Buccaneers finally ended their season yesterday, the preseason, and now it's real deal. Watching those guys, I'm not going to sit here and say they look good or they look bad. That doesn't make any sense to me. It never has. You don't know how many teams went 0-4 throughout the years, end up making the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. So it's just not an indication of what your football team is going to be about. It's not. You want to look at some individuals here and there. I think the Buccaneers have some good pieces. I don't know about if the shenanigans and tomfoolery with Jameis Winston is going to create an issue. That's up to Jameis Winston. That's up to Dirk Cutter, Jason Light. But I hope they figure out a way to weather the storm in the first 3 weeks. If they can weather the storm in the first 3 weeks and look like they belong, you never know. But they can take a good old-fashioned ass-kicking in the first 3 weeks as well, and that season could be over real, real quick. So football season is upon us, fantasy football, the whole nine yards, so it's fun, and it's football season. It seems like the world is the football season and then without football season, and it just seems like our mentalities change and everything in our worlds change as well. So you got to enjoy the football season. Now, speaking of Raymond James Stadium, you know, I was talking about last week, I was talking about Taylor Swift, and I saw probably 25 or so semi-trucks out there. I've talked to some people who have seen that saw her concert that said she was unbelievable. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I don't dislike her music. I just don't really, it's not really my stuff. I have a lot of respect for her. So then I hear that she is a free agent, and out of her 18 stops that she had 100% sales in 18 stops, which is amazing. And she grosses between $5 to $9 million in venues that are about 47 to 60,000 capacity. So that's probably Raymond James and some. She's going to start her own production company, and she's going to make all the money. Good for you, Taylor. I think that's the way that entertainers are going these days. You've seen so many horror stories and you know, rumors of you know, acts way back when going triple platinum and quadruple platinum, and then they, you know, the artist ends up being broke. And that's not gonna happen anymore. These artists are so darn wise of every last dollar that goes in everybody's pockets that they're not gonna let anybody else make their money. That's why you see, you know, the Jay-Z's and all these different artists, Lil Wayne, they all represent themselves. They're making all the damn money. So Taylor Swift is becoming a brand, and good for her. But she's going to start her own production company, and she's going to make all the money, which is all good. The King of Pop, Michael Jackson, his birthday just went by. He was going to be 60 years old. I can't believe Mike would have been 60. You know, Mike, when it's all said and done, you know, people love Michael Jackson, and he got away with a lot of stuff, that's for sure. Love his music to death. Probably the most, when it's all said, he might be one of the most confused people that were ever on the planet. Because I was watching the show and they had his kids, Paris and Blanket, I believe the kid's name is. Two of his kids who are whiter than any other kids I've ever seen in my life. Now, we all know that Michael Jackson at the end, his skin tone was whitish. They say Villalago, I say bleach. But clearly, those are not Michael Jackson's seeds. Clearly. Michael Jackson is my complexion, or he was my complexion. You are not, no way. A black seed is not turning out blonde-haired kids. It is not. Good for them. But wouldn't it be a tough situation if you're 18 years old and you have blonde hair and Michael Jackson was your father? Wouldn't you eventually say, maybe I should go check to see who my father really was? Or mom, what happened? I think she was inseminated personally. Now, that's all their business, but that's definitely not Michael Jackson's seed. That is for sure. Now, you know, this is the podcast where I get a chance to talk a little politics, and politics is getting to the point where it's becoming so amusing, it's becoming entertaining, it's becoming disgusting, and it's a lot of things, and it turns my stomach, that is for sure. But this is going to be the death of us as a society. It's going to be politics, either politics or religion, and they're all the same damn thing. It's the same damn thing. Okay, Tiger Woods came out the other day and pretty much didn't speak against Donald Trump. He didn't shine like Donald's the greatest guy. He just said, you know, I got no problem with Donald Trump. Blah, blah, blah. I got no problem with Tiger Woods not having a problem with Donald Trump. I really don't. But people like to abuse people for nothing. It's his opinion. It's his life. He can do as he pleases. Everybody wants to get in somebody else's Cheerios all the time. And you can't give an opinion anymore without the other side going absolutely batshit crazy. It's automatic now. And, you know, when I'm looking at people, the way they're reacting to others speak, and I'm like, man, we're all freaking losing it. Who gives a shit? Who cares who Tiger Woods likes or doesn't like? Tiger Woods is wealthy. He's not rich. He's wealthy. You know what? If I was wealthy, you know who I would like to? Donald Trump. Wealthy people are not going to dislike Donald Trump. That's not going to happen. Because in their world, he's definitely beneficial. That's for sure. So, you know, it's just like we're all going crazy. With the Me Too thing that was going on, and it's still going on. Me Too is never going to go away, by the way. I'm a fan of it. I'm a proponent of it, but I'm still leery of it because it's being misused. And in some instances, it is being misused. You know, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, they were the origin. They were the originators of Me Too. They started it, so to speak. There were some other names as well. But when Louis C.K. is one name that comes up, and old Louis C.K., who is a funny dude. I went back and watched his stand-up that he did a while ago, and having known what he was alleged and, you know, all his situations that he had, it made it a little creepy because some of his jokes, I was like, well, you're the guy that was running batches in front of people, right? So some of it was a little bit creepy. And I guess Louis C.K. came back and did a little comedy. Please don't put Louis C.K. in the same category as Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby, who were raping people. Louis C.K. told young ladies, do you want to come to my room and watch me masturbate? It is up to the young lady at that point whether she says yes or no. Louis C.K. is not your boss. He's not your boss. Is he influential? Sure. But you thinking, is he the devil? Not my book. He ain't the devil. Is he a pervert? Sure. Am I a pervert? Sure. I mean, we like to judge and throw stones a lot. But Louis C.K., I guess, is resurfacing. Whether he becomes relevant or not, again, we're going to see. I guess if you're a funny dude, you're going to be a funny dude. But you guys have to all understand that he wrote Pootie Tang for us. For God's sakes, he should be like Michael Jackson and get a pass, because Michael Jackson wrote Rock With You and a lot of wonderful songs. But Pootie Tang definitely should be good enough for a pass, that's for sure. So let's get to our beloved Donald Trump, who keeps things, or keeps people on their toes. You know he does, right? Everybody. And it's to a point now where with Omarosa, and let me tell you what I think about Omarosa, okay? Omarosa is a leper, and this is why. The way our world is divided, not our world, our country is divided now. It's Democrat, Republican, it's black and white, it's a lot of different things, but it's surely divided. Your girl Omarosa is a rat fink. That's what she is. She laid up in bed with Donald Trump, laid up right next to him. He put his junk on her and everything. She said to everybody, you should bow to Donald Trump. After he sticks it to you, don't try to come back to the people that you pretty much were looking down the end of your nose at. Everybody. The black community doesn't like Omarosa. And the white community hates Omarosa. Nobody's going to buy that stank book. It's to a point now where everybody in the White House is got to be walking on eggshells, because you have to think that everybody thinks somebody has a tape recorder on them. Everybody believes that they're being taped. Everybody's always telling on each other. Everybody's warning everybody about somebody else in the White House. It's a bad feel. It's a really, really bad feel right now. And Omarosa, she just made herself as irrelevant as possible because she don't have a side anymore. Nobody likes her, period. Done, over with. Now, the whole thing, and I was on a Mike Calter show the other day, and I was talking about, we brought up Donald Trump, and I guess Tom Arnold has a show, The Hunt for Trump Tapes, and I don't know what they're looking for, but anybody out there, if they find a Trump tape, if anybody's listening to this who is a fan of Donald Trump or is not a fan of Donald Trump, it's all the same. If they found a Trump tape with him using the N-word, would anybody listening to me right now change their views on Donald Trump? And if it does change your view, what was your view before? Was your view of, does he look like somebody who wouldn't or hasn't? I'm not quite sure what you're looking at. And there's so many things that have come out of Donald Trump's mouth. And I was on a Mike Calder show the other day, and he says, do you think he's racist? And I go, do you think he's racist? And everybody kind of clamored up a little bit. So I don't even know why you have to even really come out and say it. I don't see anybody protecting Donald Trump as far as being racist or not. Even big-eyed Sarah Huckabee, they said, do you think there's any tapes of, can you promise there's no tapes of Donald saying the N-word? She's like, no, I'm not putting my ass on that line, because there might be 10,000 tapes. You just you don't want to be the one to bust out Donald Trump because he's going to sue your ass and all that kind of stuff. And it's just not worth it. But it's to a point now where there's so many things that come out of his mouth that are questionable. Well, that's not racist. Let's explain this and let's explain that. Everything has to be explained. But the one thing is that they're definitely not funny. And speaking of, explaining things, we had the big race here in Florida. It's going to be DeSantis against Gillum. And we all heard it 1,000 times now. DeSantis came out and said, we don't want him to monkey this up. Okay? And then afterwards he said, he's a very articulate person. Does this make him racist? Nope, it does not. Does it make maybe the hair on the back of my neck stand up? Yep, probably. Is it a big deal that he's backed by Trump? Yeah, definitely. people say, well, just because you said he's articulate doesn't mean it's racist. And it doesn't mean it's racist. And as somebody who is African-American and somebody who I'm not going to say well-spoken because I've heard that my whole life. We could say I'm a wordsman. I'm able to use words. You know how many times in my life I've heard that I'm well-spoken? And somebody will say, well, that's not a big deal. That's not racist. And I'll say, has anybody said it to you? And they'll think, I mean, I'm a college graduate. I'm a college graduate. I'm a business person. I'm an entrepreneur. I have a radio show. I got my hands in some stuff. I don't want you to tell me I'm well-spoken. I don't tell Caucasian people they're well-spoken. They don't need to hear that. We don't need to hear it either. We don't. That's not a compliment. If you say I'm articulate, that means you think all other black people aren't. Think about that for a second. And when DeSantis came out and said we don't want him monkeying this up, I don't know what he meant. But when you put it all together, it doesn't look great. But on the one side doesn't care. When DeSantis comes out and says that, his people aren't going to run. They're not going anywhere. They're not. So it's to the point now where nobody's scared of saying anything anymore. They're just not. And you can literally say anything and your people are going to basically break down what you meant. They really, you could say anything anymore. Trump came out and warned people that there's going to be violence if the Democrats win midterms. Boy, it seems like something that would happen in a different country. That's something like Idi Amin would do. You can vote for the other people, but there's going to be violence. And he's like, well, you know, it's just something that's going to happen. Well, you're telling people to be violent. You are telling people to be violent. And I heard Donald Trump say this the other day. We do things by the book. What fucking book is that? What book is that? I don't want to read this book. You know, his boy McGahn had a 30-hour, listen to me, a 30-hour interview with Mueller. What in the hell are you going to talk about for 30 hours? And then they asked Donald, do you think, oh, you nervous? Oh, no, I'm not nervous. Well, I can't talk about anything for 30 hours. I don't know that much. Boy, they're 30, that's a lot of digging. After 5 hours, I ain't got nothing to say anymore. 30 hours of interviews on one thing. Amazing. And, you know, there's Trump people still, and they're never going to go away. That's fine. There's people going to be against them. I just want people to be realistic about things. And I sat there and watched, I think it was CNN, and people are going back and forth and arguing and getting all ballistic about Donald Trump and whether he's a liar or not. Okay, these are things that I don't want to debate about. I don't want to debate whether Donald Trump is racist, because I would take Jack Gordon, Dominic Ferriello, John Morgan, and every other great lawyer in this place in Florida, and I'll go against him and I will win in the court whether Donald Trump is racist or not. You can't beat me. No way. There's too much. There's too much evidence. It's like saying Ian eats a lot of bad food. No, he doesn't. Well, I don't want to take that one. Who wants to take whether Donald Trump is racist or not? Who the hell wants that? In his book, all right, and I won't read his book, but in his book, he has a whole chapter, a whole segment talking about truthful hyperbole, okay? And that really basically means telling people what they want to hear or glorifying things. It's another way of saying lying and getting away with it. Truthful hyperbole. If you listen to Donald Trump speak, he's a car salesman. Everything's fantastic. Everything's the biggest. Everything's the best. Everything. He came out the other day and said, and I quote, "We did a fantastic job in Puerto Rico. 3,000 people died. How dare you Say you did a fantastic... Okay, even if you think you did a fantastic job in Puerto Rico, keep that shit in your pocket. Because 3,000 people died, and some people just got their power back. This world's not always about him, okay? Truthful hyperbole. Listen to him speak. We had the most people ever at my inauguration. No, you didn't. You didn't. No, you didn't. He's trying to erase everything Obama's ever created. He's trying to let us know what he believes or what he wants. And that's the whole truthful hyperbole thing. And once again, you can still be a fan of his. That's fine. But if the whole John McCain thing didn't turn your stomach inside out, shame on you, because this is not a political thing. To me, John McCain seemed like a pretty freaking amazing American. Forget about Democrat, Republican. I'm talking about American. Serve this country. By the way, Donald Trump said he's not a hero because he got caught. We don't need to get much more into that. Oh, but Colin Kaepernick can't kneel because that's un-American. But you can tell a veteran they weren't American or they didn't do their job because they were caught. That's, I don't think there's anything more un-American than that, seriously. And McCain, in his death on the way out, and I'm applauding him for this, told everybody, don't bring that MF-er in the building when for my funeral. I don't want it. I don't want Donald Trump there. He's going to make it about him, and he would have. And then they had the whole thing where he didn't put the flag at half mast for long enough, and I'm like, God darn it. We are some petty, childish, ridiculous people, period. He was asked questions about John McCain. He won't even ask the questions. He won't even answer the questions. You hate the dude in death that much? You hate him that much? You're so enthralled in your world that you can't even give somebody love in death? And that's our president. And we're trying to teach our kids not to bully. Good luck with that. You're trying to teach your kids not to bully? Well, for God's sakes, don't let them watch television because the person who's leading our whole world is a freaking bully. And he's the biggest bully I've ever seen in my entire life, period. Anyways, I love talking about Donald Trump. It's exciting. It's fun. It's crazy. And I would pull my hair up, but I don't have any. But it ain't boring, that's for sure. And not quite sure I can endure 6 more years of that. I'm just going to be honest. Because I think it's going to go from interesting to chaotic real, real fast if that's not where we are right now. If anybody out there wants to email me and ask me any questions, it's ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com. And you can hit me up with whatever questions you want about football, about politics, about cannabis, all the above. I'm not an expert. The last cannabis podcast, we had Joe Redner in. He's pretty close to an expert, so I'm bringing a lot of people in here who know what the hell they're talking about, and that's what it's all about. But I appreciate you guys listening in. This has been Flavor in Your Ear. Have a wonderful weekend, and please be safe and stay out of jail, please. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor. Flavor. Bringing that flavor.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Everybody do me a favor and check out my good buddy, Mr. Jay Banks from the Native Brand right here on Duffified Live.
I was assaulted by somebody that I met at a bar. And
so wait, she wasn't your girlfriend?
No. Well, it was, I didn't meet her that night. I've known the girl for like 2 weeks prior to that.
Okay.
So that was probably the second or third time that we went out. We were driving home and she backhanded me and she had like this pearl ring on her left finger. So when she backhanded me, the ring caught me right in my left eye. So I saw like a quick flash. I pulled over, I told her to get out of the car. She bit my right hand as I grabbed the door. So I let go of the door, and then she bit onto my thumb, and I tried pulling my thumb out of her mouth. And as I did that, she came with it, and then she bit my ear, and I pulled away, and she ripped my right ear off. It was one of those moments where, like people are like, man, I can't believe that. I would have snapped on her. It's like, when you're in that moment, and she spit the ear at me, which is the crazy thing, man.
Oh,
yeah. So I hopped out of the car. I grabbed my ear, and I called 911 right away. Like, that's like panic mode. You know what sure. I mean? Like, it was that there was no, like, I need to get defensive. It's like, I need to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I called 911, and then she throws one heel at me, and then she's chasing me down the street, and then she throws the other heel at me. And like, all this is like on the, you know, while I'm on the phone with 911.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.